They would say a person wants to be a mover and a shaker, so I'm a mover and a shaker. Baruch Hashem. The Dirshu was finished making Sivas Mesechtas Nedarim on the Sunday, studying Mesechtas Nazir. So I just want to share with you one thought. It's in Nisara. It's a thought from Hirsch, and it's a powerful thought. I think it's a thought to think about at the beginning of this month. There's a very enigmatic Gemara. The Gemara says that a person who makes a neder is as if he built a bama. Bama is a mizbeach, which is found outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's also to build it. And if you keep the neder, it is as if you're makir of a carbon on the bama, which is an isa teraisa, chiyav koras. The person makes a neder and he keeps the neder. That sounds pretty nice. Makes a neder, keeps the neder, and we're calling him kila. He built a bama, and he's a makir of a carbon on the bama. It's very what's the point in the Gemara? So Hirsch has his mahalach, the other mahalachim, but Hirsch has his mahalach. He says, why does a person make a neder? A person makes a neder, he feels he has an area of avodah that he needs to work on, and he realizes that to motivate himself to do it, he doesn't have the strength to do it himself. If he undertakes a neder is binding, it becomes a halacha, he's mechuyav to do it, so it's a good thing. He forces himself to deal with the issue. Okay, so that's good. It's a beautiful thing, a neder. So what's negative about it, that he's kila being makar with carbon on the bama? So he understands that the idea of being makayim, it means he maintains it. So I had my problems yesterday. I realized what they were. I addressed them. If I keep addressing them, what I'm doing is getting stuck. Today's fights are not yesterday's fights. Today's growth is not yesterday's growth. It becomes, instead of being a source of inspiration, it becomes a straitjacket. It holds me back. Yes, I overcame. I had a problem with davening. So I really worked on davening. I became better at davening. So I feel very good about that. So I keep working on it. But maybe it's time to move that to the side and address the other areas in your life that you need to address. Well, it's much more comfortable to stay talking about davening, because davening, I feel geschmacken already. I have a shaitas to it. So instead of addressing the fact that I have a temper issue, I'll work on davening. So this avodah became a straitjacket. It's called a makayim, where a person maintains the neder. Instead of being mat to the neder, i.e. moving on to another area of avodah, he gets stuck in something. It's a problem. That's even when it's something which is positive. I believe that one of the challenges we have in the area of avodah is the things which are quote unquote not parif. You know, I have a certain persona. This is who I am. I like to present myself like that. My friends know me like that. Becoming something different makes me uncomfortable. It makes the people around me uncomfortable. You know, I'm not sure who I am anymore. They're not sure how to deal with me. You know, so I'd rather just sort of stay who I am, because staying who you am is comfortable, as opposed to saying, you know, I realize I need to move on, I need to become something bigger, something better, and I could do it. And this week's parsha is we're presented with Avraham Avinu, we're presented with the person who Chazal referred to him as Avraham, the Torah refers to him as Avraham Avri. Chazal understand what is Avraham Avri. The whole world was on one side, and he was on the other side. So to understand that concept, I read a book many, many years ago. I actually looked today to see if it's available. It's out of print. And so Amazon had it for just $199 available. $199, a used copy of it. You can see it's like shredded a little bit. I wasn't tempted. So the name of the book was called Sabbata. Sabbata is Russian for Shabbos. And this was about the Babichal Chassid, who was in Russia under the communist regime, who was put in prison for keeping Yiddishkeit. And they put him into these prisons, and the goal was to be Hishman Mechal Shabbos, etc., and he refused. And they beat him, and etc. And the story basically goes, he came to Prison X, and he explains Prison X was known for issues A, B, and C, none of them very positive. And they've attempted this type of torture to him and this type of torture, and he didn't give in. And finally, they realized they can't break him, and attempted the next prison. They started over again. After about 100 pages of reading, and I couldn't read it anymore because it's so painful to read, you can't even read it. He was in the prison system for 20 years. And he was not Mechalel Shabbos. 20 years, he's not Mechalel Shabbos. Eventually, he made it to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Aaron actually told me that he met him. He lived in his little dinky apartment over there in Israel. And this is a person who endured 20 years in the prison camps, in the gulags, to never want to be Mechal Shabbos. And he was willing to, he's ready to give up his life, but that whatever reason that didn't happen, the person decided to keep him alive. Where do you get that from? How do you do that? So Rebbe says a fascinating thing, that if you want to understand what Amunah, the key of Amunah is, how clear does your Amunah have to be? What's the goal? So he says, imagine you have Amunah in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you move away from all of your friends, and you're all by yourself, and you move into a place where everybody laughs at you for what you believe in the whole day. They make fun of you the whole day. Day and night they say, you're ridiculous, it's not true, you're foolish, you're stupid, you're antiquated, you're, you know, come on, grow up, you know, we're better than you, and you're smarter than you, and you're stupid. And they say it to you the whole day, and there's nobody there to support you. You're all by yourself. And your emunah does not waver. That's the level of emunah that a person's mechuyev to have. That's the mitzvah of emunah. Anoche Hashem Elokecha is a chiyuv of a mesiras nefesh. It doesn't just mean giving up your life. Being killed like Kedesh Hashem, it means living it even though it's hard. Well, Rebovich picked probably the hardest example you could give. This person did it. There is a Matish, I don't know what the name of the, I didn't stay for the end of the, some years we sing this song, Yadati Nafshi. They sang it this year? Yeah, Yadati Nafshi. Ron said the story. Chaim Shapiro describes in his book that he met this individual, also in the gulags. He made himself look like a meshugana. So he lived all by himself. He had no friends. He had nothing. But this way he was able to keep Shabbos. Because that's real. How do you do it? How do you do it? The answer is, if you believe in something, I believe in something, you know what? I convince you not to believe in it. Somebody comes over and says, you know, this is really a table. This is really a car. It's not a car. It's a standard. I'm not going to argue with the guy. He's the Meshuggah. What about the whole Meshuggah tells me, I'm telling you it's a car. You're all Meshuggah. It's not a car. Because I know that it's a standard. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is real enough to us that the whole world tells me that I'm crazy. I don't care. You're all crazy, and I'm right. You don't know that, you tell me that. That's your problem. Game finished on. That's how you do it. If you believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you start wavering. Maybe they're right. You know, believe this, I believe that. You know, it's not a moon, it's idea. Da'as Elokei Avicha, the pasuk says. You have to know him. Avraham Avinu is on one side and the whole world is on the other side. So, Baruch Hashem, you know, we have a good Masara. He was the first Meshuggah. In Europe, in every single stuff, they had a person called the Shtat Meshuggah. Right? So, I once heard from one of the Rebbeim, it says, you know, it was important to have a Shtat Meshuggah. Every little settle had a Meshuggah. Because at least somebody in the city would say the truth. He doesn't really care what people think about him. That's the mile of a Meshuggah. Like, hey, then Rishon, you know, you think I'm a Meshuggah? Okay, fine, I don't care, because I'm a Meshuggah, doctor. And now I can tell you the truth. Well, you're not going to like me because of that. You're going to make fun of me because of that. I don't care, because I'm a Meshuggah. That was the mile of the Meshuggah. Avraham Avinu walked around the whole world at the beginning, thought he's a Meshuggah. I mean, you don't believe in a Zohar? They're like, a Zohar? Like, come on, like, everybody knows about a Zohar, right? Like, what do you think? I mean, who do you think? What's your problem? Like, come on. day in and day out. All of us, he went to school, you know, with this little bag in the back, you know, it's God, and everybody says, come on, Getchka, you know. You're on the wrong team, kid. It's like, you walk into like some areas of New York with a Red Sox, you know, thing in your back. You got to be kidding. Like, you know, it's dangerous. Avraham Avinu was be'ever echad. His clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so clear to him. It was so obvious to him. It was so real. It's the standard. And the whole world can tell me it's a card. It's an Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know. Something happened to their mind. They're all thinking, oh my goodness. That's the mitzvah of Emunah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is to have the clarity to understand the reality which we live in. So Reb Chanan says, the Kibbutz Memorim, he says, you know, this is a mind-boggling chiyuv. The chiyuv is, the boy turns 13 years old, he's a mitzvah, okay, person will start with the gun and says, listen, either admit, you know, this is not true, or I'll kill you. He says, you know, yesterday I was 12 and I was only under a mitzvah, I'm not mechuyav to give my life. Now under a mitzvah, I'm mechuyav to give my life. I have such clarity in the last minute, I got it now. Ready to go. Aristotle couldn't figure it out, and my 13-year-old mitzvah boy is ready to go. Really? He's mechuyav all the mitzvahs. Kiddush Hashem, not to deny the reality of a Kiddush Baruch Hu. And the second question, he says, Chazal say, minus, this is minus, denying the reality of a Kiddush Baruch Hu, is minus, it's atheism. Where is in the Torah to say the Isser of doing that? Zesurach Arei, Levavcha, Zu minus, Chazal say. So Mechana says, Zu minus. Lavavka minus. Minus is in the cup. You think and you philosophize and you challenge, you think, you know. Right? What is it with the heart? He says also, the third kasha, he says, the Rambam learned there's a mitzvah of Emunah. Now that's a little difficult to understand the mitzvah of Emunah. So I walk up to the person and listen, you know, do you believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu? He said, no. You have to. I said, why? Because God said you have to. He said, I don't believe in God. But you know, there's a mitzvah to believe in him. It's like, what does that mean? You need to have a mitzvah, there's three parties to a mitzvah, right? There's three parts to a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. There's a commander, there's the one who's commanded, and there's the command. The guy standing there says, I don't see any commander. There's nobody there. Yeah, but he said you have to listen to him. I don't believe in it. So, well, how are you Makai something to believe in something he doesn't believe in? How does it work? So Reb Chanan says, we got to talk. The Emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obvious. It's so clear. You look at the world. Ask Reb Akiva, says, you know, prove the existence of God. He says, you know, there's a standard here. Where'd it come from? It came by itself. No. You know, just happened to be a piece of wood, hurricane. You understand that we all intuit that there's a maker. The world is a little more complex than a standard. We intuit that there's a maker. We know that. So why is a lot of the world walking around without intuiting that? So Chazal say, the Kleisel, there was evidence about Azorah, Lahatlam Arayas for Hesya. God said no to Arayas. We wanted Arayas. So the answer is do about Azorah. We can do Arayas. So there's Shaykhad, Rabbi Chanan says. There's Shaykhad. There's something which is convincing me not to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's something which is enticing me. So one source of enticements is that I said this Shmuel's over 10 years ago, and I quoted a fascinating Mamash, like it says Mamash Chazal. I'm misspelled that the fellow was willing to actually say it, but Mamash Chazal. So in 1965 was when they Wilson and Penzias came out with the Big Bang Theory. You know, they've done the research and they presented it to the scientific community. This idea of there's a moment of creation, and there was a lot of reaction to that. So, New York Times wrote an article which had a great line in it. He says, "This now is the scientist's worst dream. It's a bad dream. Right? Science has been scaling the mountains of knowledge for thousands of years to get to understand the origin of the universe, the question of all questions. They get to the top and there's like all these monks sitting there and saying, I told you so. There's all the theologians sitting there and saying, we've been here the whole time. So in response to that article, one of the top scientists, right, he says, I had reasons why I didn't want to believe in God. It would have inhibited my life. So therefore, I don't want to believe in God. Matarais prefresia, you gotta believe in a bazaar, you can't believe in God. It's mamash, he's machabah to a chazal. Okay, so that's not our problem. That's not the impediment we're grappling with. I mean, we're grappling more with a piece of cake than that. Okay, fine. So what's our shorchad? I think part of our shorchad is Amun is Machai. Okay, Kadosh Baruch is real. He's real. He's there. See, he's real. He's right here. I shouldn't be babbling right now, probably. I probably should be cowering in my presence, my year from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, Pasuk can tell him, Shishi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. He says the person's way he speaks, the way he walks, the way he opens his mouth, nothing is the same when you're in the presence of the Melech. That's like a whole new way to live. That's a whole different ball game than what I'm used to. And we like what we're comfortable with. And not only do we like what we're comfortable with, even if I'm ready to change, I'm uncomfortable if everybody thinks I just flipped out. And he went there, so he flipped out. You know, like, it's not said as a compliment. Like, all of a sudden he starts believing in God, you know, like he starts doing like these strange things, like davening nicely and learning nicely and doing chesed, you know, and all these strange things. My friends are going to think I'm weird. I'm going to be uncomfortable because I'm not used to this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't want to change because change is, like, I made a persona. I'm like a cool guy like this, you know, everybody knows about that. Oh, I got to change, you know, like, you know, all of a sudden take the hair, put it this side, like, you know, down here instead. It's just very uncomfortable. I'm not ready to do it. That's our shaykhad. It's uncomfortable to change. So instead of facing our fears, Shmuel Chanan says that that's the shaykhad, the mitzvah is, you know deep down that the game the issue is shaykhad. Address your shaykhads. Address them. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is deal with the things that are stopping you from seeing the reality in front of your nose. I look at this thing and I see a car. But deep down I know it's not a car because I tried it for 3 times. I tried to make it go. It doesn't go anywhere. It's a dead car. It must be the batteries that I tried to change the battery. It doesn't work. At some point in time I said, what's the problem? Why am I seeing a car over here when it's really a standard? What am I scared of? Because everyone in the room says it's a car. And I don't like being different than everybody else. They have all these wonderful studies, you know, the psychologists do these studies, the sociologists do these studies about, you know, they show a person a picture. You know, they have these students which are hired, to, you know, in the class, and they have the test people. What's this picture? It's a picture of a bird. It says, how did you take that picture of a bird? We already know that that's a picture of a table. You know, the studies, multiple times, the same studies, 8 out of 10 people will change their what they see the picture is, even though they know what it is, because everybody says it's different. Because they can't deal with peer pressure of thinking that they're stupid. And one or two people will say, no, I'm telling you, it's a bird, it's not a table. Come on, what are you talking about? Everybody knows it's a table, it's not a bird. What are you going to do with a bird? It looks like your table. This is what they do. They everybody gangs up on the guy and they make fun of him and the guy gives in. Then the one guy who stands up, they go after him again. So the two guys, usually after that, like one, usually about six, and four, and then they get out of the four, they usually get to the two to give in. So everybody tells me that this is a chair, this is a car, it's a car. Have you ever driven it? No, but it doesn't make a difference because everybody said it. Rabbi, we're scared. We're possibly scared because we define ourselves by what people think of us. That's our shaykhah. We're scared about our friends. That our friends will think that, you know, this guy is like, I really want to move forward, I really want to grow a little more, but my friends, they're still a little bit further behind, and they're not going to be comfortable with me moving, so becoming so frum. So I'd rather hold back, because I want to call out to my friends. Because they're going to think, like, I'm like, you know, something happened to me. That's a very scary shaykhad. Because deep down, it means we don't have a moon in ourselves. So we spoke about last week, you know, that part of a moon is the moon in a, the Baruch Hu believed in the world and he created us. So Ratzadik says, we mentioned this last month, Ratzadik says, the Baruch Hu created me. He created me, and Chazal say, Bishil Nivra'il, means the whole world was Kedai for me. So if I'm valuable in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, to the point he's willing to create the whole creation, and that what, that only I should walk the face of the earth in the 6,000 years out of the millions and millions, I should walk the face of the earth, I must be pretty important. So don't define yourself by the guy next to you. The Baruch Hu is willing to create the whole creation, not just this world, but all of the universe, the light years and the light years and the light years of distance, just for me. The Baruch Hu is making an extremely strong statement of how much he is machshev me. I'm valuable. I'm chashev. I don't need you to define who I am. So you think I went off the deep end. Okay, and now for what? Now I'm not worth it. I'm not. I don't feel good about myself anymore. We're so vulnerable. We don't believe in ourselves. We're so scared of what somebody else thinks of me. We define ourselves by somebody else. That's a horrible way to define who you are. Because it's clown, it has no shaykhus to reality. My friends tell me that, you know, you look like you're 5'10". So now I'm 5'10". But they all said I'm 5'10". You know, so I have to join the basketball team because you don't want me on the basketball team, I guarantee you. Right? Besides my height, for other reasons. Everybody needs kavod. Kavod means value. Kavod means we need to know we're valuable. The most healthy way of having kavod is intrinsically you know that you have value. And you see it with high school kids. You see it in the world of chinuch all the time. It's the high school kids, you know. Right? You have a kid. He's a nice kid, a sweet kid. He acts out in class every day. What's he doing? Why is he doing this? He needs to be noticed. Because this way he feels like he's somebody. Either they laugh at him and make fun of him, but at least he's noticed. Now, Ritursky has this, you know, this one of his books, he quotes a study that they have, that he said multiple times when they had him deal with like a criminal, like, you know, made it big, he made it onto like the front page of the Pittsburgh Gazette. Okay, right? You know, because he did something. I don't know how big the paper is. It's not the New York Times, right? The guy walks in and he says, look, I'm on the front page of the paper because I robbed the bank. So I made it. I'm a somebody. The world noticed me. Reverse, I want you to know that's not a healthy way to get covered. In case you're not aware of that, it's not a healthy way of getting covered. But being the class clown is the exact same thing. Or the kid who's a show-off. He's a MacGyver. He's not a MacGyver. And you know, someone told me this boy has to work on Gaiva. His problem is not Gaiva. His problem is he has low self-esteem. And the way he fills up that hole in his heart that he feels he's worth is by getting everybody to tell him that he's wonderful. Because he's so smart. The person who has healthy self-esteem really doesn't need you to tell me that I'm smart. I might be smart, I might not be smart, but who cares? What's it with you? I'm trying to be as best as I can, end the conversation. So if we're doing a Dover Toiv, it can become a straitjacket. Because that was yesterday's fight. And that was yesterday's avoider. These things are not avarice. They're not avarice. There's nothing wrong with it. But they're straitjackets. They limit growth. We have a 6-month winter in front of us. Ryako Kamenetsky Zatzal said that said about a certain yeshiva wasn't successful. He says because the mila for yeshiva to be successful, it needs a winter. And this place was in a very balmy climate, you know. So there's always the outside calling you. The winter gets dark early. You're like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You know, it's much more. It's, you know, it's nice to be inside. So you pull to the basement under sport. You have a winter in front of you, and there's so much opportunity for growth. There's so much opportunity for the clarity which we can get over a winter of who we are, what we want to accomplish in life, how much we actually are going to accomplish in life, and feel good about it. And look back at the end of the winter, you know, I really had a very productive winter. I really felt good about, I challenged some of my fears. I overcame some of them. I moved forward in some of them. Some of them I was not successful, but I'll get back to it. I feel confident about myself. I feel good about myself. I did it. I stopped being scared of how I'm defined by what I'm comfortable with and what people think. And I realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in me, and he has a plan for me, and he wants me to accomplish something, and I'm going to try and do it. One last thought. So how do you do it? My wife suggested this to a bacher years ago, a fairly shy bacher, and you know, he started dating. And like, the idea of sitting with this young woman, you know, very scary for him, etc. How does he deal with that? Fellow had really very little interface with, you know, the opposite gender up to that point in time. The whole thing was just like, he said, stop for a second. If you're going to sit there and think about how nervous and uncomfortable you are the whole time, it's going to be a disaster. The person next to you probably is also uncomfortable. Think about what you can do to make them comfortable. And that should be your focus. Just think about how you can make them comfortable. And if you do that, you'll stop worrying about yourself. If you're worrying about somebody else, you will be comfortable. You'll have a good time. Avraham Avinu was the Mura Chesed. Avraham Avinu was the Rosh HaMaminim. Avraham Avinu saw Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Because he didn't focus on himself. He focused outward. He saw the guy next to him. He saw the guy next to him, what that person's fears were, what that person's desires were, what that person's needs were. And he cared about that person and he addressed it. When you start focusing outward, not just about me and being worrying about me and being comfortable about me, you take off the straitjacket. And you start seeing the world as the world really is. And all of a sudden, like, yeah, it's gender. Like, what else? Yeah, there's a God. What else? Yeah, there's this gorgeous Bria, which is, there's clearly somebody directing it. What else? Clearly he has interest in me. What else? He clearly has a plan for me. What else? He even gave me directions what to do about it. What else? And he loves me tremendously. What else? The world is screaming that the Bersham is here. The world is screaming at us. And we're so busy focusing inward that we don't notice it. And the way we can sometimes help ourselves focus outwards, the Avraham Avinu of the world focused outwards, and he started noticing everybody around him. You know, the guy next to me, I went to one go out there, he's scared what people think. He says, you know what? And the guy next to you is just as scared as you. It's like, so now what? So stop it. Make him feel comfortable. Stop thinking about you for now. Just make him feel comfortable. And you'll get out of your nervous, your fear. And you'll make the next guy feel comfortable. You'll start being comfortable with being a different person. And you'll start noticing things around you also. Not the person next to you even, only, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your lives as well.